All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. It is program number 1011. That's a lot of numbers and that's a lot of shows. We've been doing this now for 20 years, which leads me right into a promo for our upcoming fundraiser next weekend, Saturday, September 30th from 3 until 7 p.m. It is going to be out on the Huron River. It's Radio on the River, Part Due, number two. And so we're looking for you to be there. Let me tell you a little bit about it real quickly, and then we'll get into our program. We are going to ask you to come out, as I said, on September 30th from 3 to 7 p.m. We are going to ask you to spend that afternoon in the beautiful Huron River, hosted by one of our board members' homes on the river. The afternoon will include locally catered food and beverages, veteran storytelling, and especially our special guest of honor, our favorite foreign policy and all things military expert, Dr. Rebecca Grant, Captain Jonathan Bernstein, former Apache pilot and now current arms curator at the United States Marine Museum, and suicide bomber survivor, U.S. Army Captain Jonathan Turnbull. So you can also get the opportunity to meet the Veterans Radio team, learn about our history and mission, support our future productions as we hopefully expand our audiences. Radio on the River runs from 3 to 7 p.m. Tickets include signature cocktails and an opportunity to enjoy veteran storytelling from all eras of military experience. I did have to point out the signature cocktails thing there. There is also non-alcoholic beverages, of course, that are available to you. So our mission since 2003 has been to illuminate the extraordinary actions of ordinary people who have gained and preserved the freedom of Americans that all Americans enjoy and the ultimate price that is often paid. Obviously, we include our listeners' stories and experiences not only while in the service but afterwards and as well. Interviews with guest speakers and authors are one of our weekly features. We need your help to continue our mission. Your support of Veterans Radio on the River and beyond will help us reach even more listeners with stories from our greatest national treasure, and that is you, our men and women in uniform. So go to veteransradio.org, click on the Radio on the River banner for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, September 30th from 3 until 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, you can still make your donation through veteransradio.org. The fee for going to this, I left out how much it would cost. We're looking for a donation of $20 for you to come to this event. $20 for 20 years. That's the motto or theme this year. If you can't make it in person, you can still make your donation through veteransradio.org. So I want to thank you all in advance for your support of Veterans Radio, and I look forward to seeing you there at Radio on the River on Saturday, September 30th from 3 until 7 p.m., go to veteransradio.org to buy your tickets or to make your donation. Thanks very much in advance. All right. So we got that out of the way, right? Okay. Here we go. Well, we're waiting for a guest to arrive, so we may jump into the program a little bit early here with what we were going to do. Today is our benefits program, and our guest is General Carol Ann Trousson, retired Air Force Brigadier General, nurse-type person. And we're going to be talking with her shortly. So if you have any questions about benefits, let me give you the number. It's 734-822-1600. It's 734-822-1600. Before we get in there, I just got done asking for money from all you folks out there to come to our fundraiser. I do have to thank our sponsors that do help us get on the air and stay on the air. So I want to make sure that I thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. Give Legal Help for Veterans a call at 800-693-4800, or you can go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, go to their website, nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888 237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information about the VA Medical Center, go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. We also want to make sure that we thank our local veterans organizations who have been there since day one. We couldn't have gotten the program off the ground without them, and we thank them for their continuing support, and that is the Irwin Press Corps and American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So, as I mentioned, I need to give Derek a phone number here, but I'm going to come on and bring on our first guest, and that is going to be Carol Ann Falzon. So, while we were talking early before coming on the show, Carol Ann mentioned that they had a Veterans Expo last week or the week before and neglected to have us promote it. So we're doing it a little bit later. But so, Carol Ann, welcome to the program. You are our resident expert. Oh, there she is. So, Carol Ann, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. I don't consider myself a guest. It's like, we're here.
Well, you're a partner.
Every month, you know, to talk about our veterans and the benefits. So last month on September 13th, we celebrated the 14th annual Veterans Summit. And it was held in Canton at the community center, and it was the Veterans Summit sponsored by the Canton Foundation and Legal Help for Veterans. And, you talk about 20th year for Veterans Radio. This was the 14th year. And we have brought many veterans together and VSOs and county counselors to talk about the issues that the veterans were having. And the two prominent discussions were led by, the first one was, Christina Darrow, our attorney at Legal Help for Veterans. Christina talked about the PAC Act and a lot of the issues and the presumptives. And then I talked about the Family Care Act and the three components of the Family Care Program. And that was very well received. The two concepts, and we had a packed house, and so that's always a good seminar, and we'll be sure to talk about it big time for next year, and I'm really hoping we have the 15th annual Veterans Summit for next year.
Well, it's a really great thing that what you do over there in Canton. And I know how much work it is to put those on. And I congratulate you and Legal Help and the Plymouth, Community Foundation for doing that. And it's really it's a great example of support for veterans. And that's what's, what I think is really important. I think that's great. It's kind of interesting is that we have a call online already. So let me make sure hopefully I can hear him after last week's experience, but his name is Saul and he's in Philadelphia. So we have a call for you. Saul, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. I guess I give you my question now.
Yes, you do. What's up?
Okay. Well, I'm 80 years old and a Vietnam vet and I'm on Medicare and I haven't felt the need to sign up for veterans benefits. For VA benefits, but I'm told I really should. And so my question is, what's the best first point of contact? Should I call the VA office directly, or should I go through a service organization? What's the first contact I should make?
Well, Saul, thank you so much, number one, for your service. That is the most important. Number two, it is critical that you sign up and enroll in the VA. And so I would tell you to go over to your local VA, and you could possibly get all things accomplished at once so you could enroll. And I would go to the eligibility office because there you have some veteran service officers. And they could assist you in looking at to see if you have some eligibility. Now, I guess my biggest question is, and that we've just covered a little bit about, the recent PAC Act that came out and a lot of presumptives that occurred for our Vietnam veterans. Did you say, Saul, are you a Vietnam veteran?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And if there are some disability benefits, if you were boots on the ground, some of the hypertension, Agent Orange, diabetes, heart disease, some of those disabilities, you really need to sit down and get on the record. You never know, even though you said you're Medicare, you sound very healthy, you never know what's going to come up. And so once again, I do believe you need to tell your story. You need to apply for those benefits which you are entitled to.
Okay, thank you. Now, so the best thing to do, I know I have a VA office, a small VA office in a shopping center nearby. I guess I'll call them, but I should be going to an office that has an eligibility capability. Is that correct?
Yes, and if you've got an office with either, a disabled American veterans, veterans of foreign wars, Vietnam veterans, they are called veteran service officers, an organization that's nearby. That is great. You don't have to go far distance to, a VA medical center if it's hours away from you, or go to a clinic. But, ask to get enrolled and then to see if you have a veteran service officer that is in that facility, or a veterans affairs office, or if you are in some communities that have what is called a county counselor, they also could help you get enrolled right on the spot. And could really assess what you have. And I will tell you the most important thing you could do also is take your DD-214, your discharge paperwork, and that will assist to tell your story.
Great. So, that's a good idea. I'll try the local American Legion or VFW, and I need a Veterans Services office or a Veterans Affairs Department at one of the service organizations.
Yep, and you just said, American Legion, DAV, you just nailed it. Take your DD-214.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for your service again.
You're welcome.
Can I interrupt here a minute?
Sure.
Saul, hold on. We have another expert on the line that I was going to bring on in a minute. But Sandy Wilson is a retired Army nurse and is one of the greatest veterans advocate I have ever known. So, Sandy, go.
The other thing I would recommend you take is, where are you getting your health care at this point?
I have various doctors I go to, and Medicare is paying for most of it.
I would make a list of all the things that they're treating you for, and take that with you.
Okay, thank you. I will do that.
That helps a whole lot.
Thanks for the hint. I will definitely do that.
You know, I have a brother who was 10% for 40 years, and he called me and he says, do you think I can get an improvement? Well, he was an engineer. You know what engineers are like.
Mm-hmm.
And I made him an appointment with a service officer I trusted, and he went over there and he spent a half hour with him. And 3 months later, he called me. They gave him 60%. With that 30-minute visit with that service officer is all he had, but you know, when he walked in, he had everything all categorized and that sort of stuff. So, you know, you could make this as simple as possible and also ask that service officer what else you need and then go home and find it.
Okay, what did you say about your doctors and get records? I didn't understand what you meant there.
Okay.
What did you say about 60%? I missed that.
Okay, well, if you are entitled to benefits, they break it down into percentages.
Uh-huh.
And so, for instance, if you're hard of hearing, you may get 10%. If you suffer from post-traumatic stress, you might get anywhere from 30 to 60 to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that you are entitled, because you earned them, you were a Vietnam veteran, or veteran in general, is that you would be entitled to tax-free benefits from the VA. And it could range anywhere from that 10% up to 100%. And I don't even know what the amounts are, but it's somewhere between, you know, $160 up to a couple of $1,000s. So, yeah, be prepared. I think what Sandy pointed out is, you know, have a list of all of the medication that you are on currently and, what you know, what you are seeing your private care doctors for. You're 214. Go in. You don't have to belong to the American Legion or the VFW or any of those organizations, but they will help you out.
Great.
But Saul, the interesting thing, Sandy gave you great advice to take your list of diseases in, but your service officer will not give you that percentage. They will help you fill out all the paperwork, which will get submitted to the VA. The VA will give you that ruling on the percentage, but it might take a couple months. It might take a little longer, but the ruling or the disability rating will come through the VA. But your service officer might give you some idea of what you might qualify for.
Right. Now, would it be better? Would I have a better chance of getting a better rating if I went, I guess there's no way of telling, if I went directly to a VA office instead of a service organization?
No, do not do that.
No.
The VA is not your friend. Your veteran service officer and the veterans organizations are your friend.
Yes.
Okay, this is great information. Thank you.
The VA will not, the physicians will not give you any ruling on that. We know people that have been cared for the VA extremely well, but they will not give you direction to go and get a disability rating.
Uh-huh.
You need to, you know, follow, go see a service officer, a county officer. We could even, you know, help you through legal help for veterans, but please follow through, get your DD-214, get a list of your concerns that you've had during your days at Vietnam and that you've been treated for over the years.
Hey, got that. Thank you very much.
God bless you, and thank you again for your service.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Saul. Well, that kind of tells everybody what our program's about. Thank you both for jumping in. And while we've got Sandy in here on our Zoom call, I wanted to introduce you to our audience. Sandy Wilson is a Vietnam veteran. She was an Army nurse in Vietnam. I'm not sure what year were you there?
68, 69.
And where were you?
Nha Trang, Black Horse, and Vung Tau.
Okay, so anybody over there, you might have run into her. But she's also very, very active in the Vietnam Veterans of America, especially our chapter here locally, which is 310. But she's also on the national. She was just recently at the national convention where, hold it, here's my notes. All right.
In Orlando,
yes. Beautiful. I'm sure, it was nice inside, I'm sure. But let me read this. All right. Chapter 310 is here in Ann Arbor of the Vietnam Veterans of America. We're very fortunate to have so many great members. And one of them happens to be Jack McManus, who was just reelected to serve as the national president of the Vietnam Veterans of America at their convention in Orlando. And our very good friend Sandy Wilson right here was reelected as a national director at large. She also received the Vietnam Veterans of America Commendation Medal. Now, the Vietnam Veterans of America Commendation Medal is the organization's highest award. This award recognizes members for outstanding, exemplary service to veterans in their community. And this is what Sandy does. So I wanted to have Sandy come on to talk about two things today. Number one was the convention, because for those of you that are not familiar, the Vietnam Veterans of America kind of has a built-in obsolescence, which means that when the last of us go, the organization will go also. But they were talking about setting up an official end of the organization, and I'll leave it right there. So, Sandy, what happened in Orlando?
Well, I think you have to understand that our average member now is about 76 years old, and we've lost quite a few, and there's others who are not physically or mentally able to continue doing the advocacy work that they've done for years. And, you know, our motto has always been, never again will one veteran be allowed to not be recognized and cared for of any generation. So therefore, we were the most active veterans organization during the wars in the Gulf, and making sure that our younger folks who went to the Gulf got, you know, that they got benefits and things, because when we got out, the World War II veterans didn't think that they even wanted to associate with us, and we got squat. So now is the situation, is how are we going to continue doing the things that we have been doing and advocating for veterans, and working through this whole thing? You know, service benefits are a big problem. What do you use for service officers when we're too old to make out the paperwork? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to make sure that they still get the research and stuff they need for their toxic exposures? And who's going to take care of our kids that are still affected by our service? So that's basically what we were working on. What I am the chair of the Agent Orange Toxic Exposure Committee, and what we have been working on, well, I think we've been working on it for 40 years, but during the past couple of years, we have had dealings with the Air Force, the VA, and our knowledgeable people. And the question was, what do you do with the 9 million samples that were taken from the ranch hand people and stored down at the Air Force base in Ohio?
Sandy, could you tell the audience what ranch hand was?
Ranch hand was, they took the people who actually sprayed the chemicals in Vietnam and did a longitudinal study. So every 5 years they went in and took body samples of them. You know, there was blood, sputum, tissue, all kinds of different things. And they did histories of them on what they were exposed to and what they were doing with their life and everything, and how many kids they had and were they married and not and everything. And this went on every 5 years for 20 years. But we have always suspected that the report was not truthful. And we had gotten some of the data a few years ago, and we found out that they did not tell us the truth. So now the Air Force is quite concerned about these specimens. And they're also, the VA is concerned, because the National Institute of Health takes forever to do any research. And luckily, or unfortunately, COVID was on, so a lot of their meetings were by Zoom, and we brought in researchers and everybody to be with us, and they finally agreed on these things. Number one, children of male veterans can have birth defects related to the father's service. And they have denied this for 40 years, but common sense would tell you the wife is not the only person contributed to the DNA lodge. They also did things like the VA hired this young blood to be a scientist, and he determined where the troops were exposed and was denying that Agent Orange and Agent Blue and other chemicals were not in their area. Therefore, they could not receive any health care and compensation for their problems. So now we got to the point to where these specimens are being transported with the agreement of the VA out to California, and they other healthcare researchers will have access to them, which makes the people with that study prostate cancer very happy, because now they have a 20-year study of men who have a high incidence of developing prostate cancer, and will be able to study that. The other thing of interest was they have told us ever since the Agent Orange litigation that we could get research done, but they would not recognize any animal research. Well, lo and behold, when the Congress ordered the VA to do research on Gulf War veterans and toxic exposure, the first thing they did was contracted for 4 different animal studies. So now they have decided, yes, we can take consideration of animal studies. We also had a scientist, a statistician, who had the actual data before the VA and the government cleaned it up. And he did some further studies on it. And the studies, the conclusions that he came with from this Ranchan data parallels the same thing we have found with the birthdefects.org organization as far as disabilities in our children. So we're looking forward, and it took us 8 years to get Congress to force the VA to do birth defects research on children of veterans. And it was one of the last things that President Obama signed, and nothing had been done about it. During the next administration, they refused to even talk about it. And when Biden took over, his secretary of the VA said that it was not feasible to do it. So we decided we'd have to work on Congress and get that done. So now we're talking in terms of what we need to study, along with input from medical researchers, so that we will have some things, some hope for our children and our grandchildren.
We are talking. We're talking right now with Sandy Wilson. She is the head of the Agent Orange and Toxic Exposures Committee with Vietnam Veterans of America. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, and you brought this up at one of our meetings, I remember, is that you encourage us to have our children and grandchildren register with this particular organization. Could you tell us what that was?
Yes. The Birth Defects Organization, it came about after the Agent Orange litigation, and it's an independent organization, and they have several pots of people or categories. They do Vietnam veterans that served in country, Vietnam veterans that did not serve in country, the general population, and Gulf War veterans, children and grandchildren in all of these areas. The most important thing I think that we need to gather from this is probably 7 years ago, the head of it went to the National Institute of Health and said that her study showed in the general population that the biggest common thing amongst children with autism is the mother took Tylenol during the pregnancy and they needed to study it. So after 6 years, they came out and they said pregnant women should not take Tylenol because it causes their child to be someplace on the autism scale. Now, I don't know how you think about this, but taking care of children with autism is very expensive because you not only have the healthcare thing, you also have the whole education system. And it would seem to me that if it was me in their position, I would be shouting it from the rooftops to make sure that our childbearing women do not take Tylenol. And then see if the instance of autism comes down within the next 5 years.
Well, I think that all the things that you are telling us, Sandy, is so important. And, you know, wherever you are across the country, you can find out this information. And I know that Sandy...
I can give them the information.
She will give you all the information. And I, if she wants to online,
you can get your phone. If you got a pencil in your hand, I'm going to give you the thing. The registry application is online, and it's under birthdefects.org. And it's free to register your child. And the more we have, the better the researchers like it, because they want thousands of people that they can look at.
Right. The bigger the study is, the more effective it will be.
Right.
Okay. Well, listen, I would Sandy, thank you so much for being on the program, our Veteran of the Year, receiving her award and all of those things. And she really is our local expert on Agent Orange exposure and so forth. And so I think maybe I'll have Sandy back on again, because I'm sure she's knowledgeable probably about burn pits and everything else that goes along with that. So, Sandy, thank you again very much for being on the program today.
You're welcome.
That's always my pleasure. I'd love to talk with you. We are going to take a break real quick. We're going to do our Medal of Honor segment. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about veterans' benefits and possibilities as disability claims. If you have a question, you can give us a call, 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Army Captain Ed Freeman flew 14 rescue missions under intense enemy fire, saving 30 seriously wounded soldiers. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
As a flight leader, Freeman supported a heavily engaged American infantry battalion in the I Trang Valley in the Republic of Vietnam. The unit was almost out of ammunition after taking some of the heaviest casualties of the war, fighting off a relentless attack from a highly motivated, heavily armed enemy force. When the infantry commander closed the helicopter landing zone due to intense direct enemy fire, Freeman risked his own life by flying his unarmed helicopter through a gauntlet of enemy fire time after time, delivering critically needed ammunition, water, and medical supplies to the besieged battalion. His flights had a direct impact on the battle's outcome by providing the engaged units with timely supplies of ammunition critical to their survival. After medical evacuation helicopters refused to fly into the area due to intense enemy fire, Captain Freeman flew 14 separate rescue missions, providing life-saving evacuation of an estimated 30 seriously wounded soldiers, some of whom would not have survived had he not acted. All flights were made into a small emergency landing zone within 100 to 200 yards of the defensive perimeter, where heavily committed units were perilously holding off the attacking elements.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
We're back here on Veterans Radio, and we're got about 20 minutes to go. And this particular program. And so we're here to start talking a little bit more about VA benefits for those of you out there who are having some issues, let's say, with your health. So I'm going to bring back on Carol Ann Falzone. I know that Sandy Wilson is hanging on the line as well. So, Carol Ann, you mentioned earlier, you know, that you had your veterans conference, and one of the things that you wanted to talk about was home health care and what's available to our veteran community.
I think you had mentioned the family caregivers.
Yes.
So many of our families now, whether you have a disability benefit and you're needing to stay at home, and if you have a 70% or greater disability, you could also get what is called the comprehensive family caregivers program by going back to your social worker and your team at the VA and applying and signing up to get some hours of care. Now, all of this with the family caregivers, everything is going to revolve around your activities of daily living. How much care at home do you need? You know, that is bathing, the toileting, you need help with, you know, eating, preparing your food. You know, you can't be alone. It's that safety issues. And so you need help and assistance. The wife or the daughter, that can't do it alone. And so you need to talk with your team at the VA. And if you do not have a disability benefit, you could also come in through another program called the General Family Care Program. They've got three distinct programs and three distinct lanes, I should say. And there is even one where the veteran could take complete control, and it's called the Direct, where they could get a budget through the VA once approved, and they get the money and they could hire their own caregivers. And so if you want to be involved in this program, it's a great program. It's through the VA, but it's through the VHA, the healthcare side, not the benefits side. And I could help you get enrolled through the programs, whether it's through your teams or through the hospital side. But there is an enrollment program, and you have to apply through the VA and be approved. And for the comprehensive, the caregiver has to go through classes, whereby the general, the VA will give you the caregivers to come into your home. The beautiful thing about the comprehensive is it could be a family care member who now gets paid. They have to live with you, and you could get paid depending on the extensive needs for care. You could either get paid, there's two different levels, what I will call stipends. You will either get a stipend one or a stipend two. Obviously, a stipend two is more extensive. Let's say the patient is homebound. The veteran is homebound, cannot really get out, bedridden, and really needs extensive care. That caregiver will get an extensive more amount of money.
So you mentioned there are three lanes that you were talking about. Could you mention their names again?
Sure. It's the Comprehensive Family Caregivers Program. The second one is called Direct, and that one you do not need a disability benefit of the 70% or greater. And then the third one is the Direct, where you do need a disability benefit for the veteran, and the veteran controls their own benefit, their own budget. They get a budget, And let's say it's 20 hours a week, 10 hours a week, talk to a veteran. Matter of fact, our caller, Dale, a couple months ago, we had a caller who called us who said he was a direct and he didn't understand why he had to fill out the report monthly. He was in the direct caregivers program.
Well, they want to know where their money's going.
That's right.
Okay, so, I got you. So the reason for this question is I have a good friend who is a veteran, and he's alone right now, and no one to take care of him, and his health's going down. And we were talking about, I said, I'm pretty sure there's a program out there that can help you. He says, yeah, but I only get 10% for, you know, hearing, let's say. And I said, no. This is something that you're eligible for, and you start this through the social worker?
Yes, and the team, and the most important thing is he goes back to his team at the VA, and his physician will sign, yes, you know, he needs help with assistance with whether it's bathing and toileting, those activities of daily living. That's what's critical. And once his physician signs off, it will go to the social worker team and they'll start to work with him and approve the hours per week that he gets assistance. And if you want, have your friend call me and I could help get, you know, that paperwork, in process and connect with the appropriate, team for him to help him.
Okay. I don't think many people realize that these services are available to them. And obviously it's one of the reasons why we do this program is to point out some of the things. Saul, what did he say? He's 90 years old?
80
years old. Okay. Said he was 80 years old. For those who are just tuning in, we had a caller earlier on, said he was 80 years old and he had never been to the VA, much less applied for any benefits or even health care, and wanted to know the process of how to get involved with it. And
the other thing, earlier this week, Dale, you and I and Tammy, we had an outstanding care call regarding residential care. And that is long-term residential, independent, hospice. And we talked about the ebooks that I have written that are out there, 20 some different categories. I just finished off on the brand new family care ebook. It's out there. It's free. Please have the listeners go out, go to www.legalhelpforveterans. The ebook is out there. If anybody wants to look at it, there are all three lanes. The whole program is there. It describes it, what they have to go through to enroll. And those are so good. There's so many valuable pieces of information on the ebooks, but we're just talking about the family care program, which, you know, all of these topics, Dale, there is so much, there's a plethora of information out there, but you can't know everything. And unless you ask, and that's why we do the benefits week.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are so many things out there that we are unaware of. And some veterans I know, and I'm sure we can all think of them that, you know, don't feel that they need it or, you know, they don't want to take advantage of it because they're taking it away from somebody else. And that's just not the way the system works, folks. Each one of you veterans out there are entitled to whatever veterans that you earned, you know, whether it's, an illness, it's some exposure that you had. It's, you know, that you just can't hear because you were standing next to a, you know, a 105 or you worked in a helicopter or a jet or something along those lines. It's because you were there. And, you know, you were willing to pay that, you know, pay the ultimate price. And now we want to help you. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for right now, but we want to help you to what you're entitled to. And so, you know, if you have questions like Saul of Philadelphia and these other people that we have talked with over the years, this is your opportunity. And, you know, those of you veterans out there who are taking advantage, that's not the right word either, but are utilizing, let's put it that way, you're utilizing the veteran, you know, the veteran health care program or the disability program. Talk to your friends.
It's real interesting when Sandy was talking about the Vietnam veterans and their offsprings. I remember probably about a good 8 to 10 years ago when a lot of conferences, we were at, she was with the trust fund, and conferences were being held all over to talk about the Agent Orange. And I've got an ebook on that. And the second generations and all the concerns coming up, and would Congress ever approve and take a look at all of the issues that were going on with birth defects and some of that with Agent Orange. And, you know, even today, that hasn't been approved of. But I think about that a ton with the PAC Act now and Camp Lejeune, the fact that I give an applause that finally with Camp Lejeune, with the water, they are approving second generation and children and families. They are giving money to those families that have defects in next generations. So, and it's sad that they didn't do that with Agent Orange and the defects that occurred back then. But they're looking at, you know, Camp Lejeune now. And that is really sad that that didn't occur, as Sandy was talking about, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, that a lot of that didn't happen.
Can I interrupt on this one?
Sure.
There is veterans can file for disability compensation for their affected children. And, you know, you've heard about they can do it for spina bifida. Well, it's the same form. It's now being used for any disease that the child can have. And those cases go to the regional office in Denver. And we finally got this straightened out. They finally put a guy in charge of it who is the son of a Vietnam veteran. And apparently one of his siblings has a birth defect or two. So instead of throwing it in the circular file now, they're actually keeping track of this, and we're encouraging people to get that filed. And hopefully if enough people file, they will see that there is patterns of different diseases that need to be looked at some more and see about compensating these people. As far as the Camp Lejeune, I only have this to say as a woman veteran. What about Fort McClellan?
Right.
Where every enlisted female in the Army did basic. And there's a big chemical plant about 5 miles away, and the people in Anniston. And the people in Anniston got compensated for all their problems with the effects of the toxic exposure. But nothing has been done about Camp McClellan except closing the basic there.
We did a story about that years ago. I'm going to have to go back and look at that, because I thought that that had been taken care of. But, wow, things disappear out there, because there was a story today in Military Times, I think it was, about some toxic exposure to veterans back in the 40s and 50s in Missouri. And
That's still going on.
Yeah,
yes.
I know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I was very thankful that Senator Levin was from Michigan. And I went and talked to him about veterans benefits while he was here in the state. And he said to me, PAYGO. And I looked at him and I said, Carl, did you all consider PAYGO and look at where you were going to get the money before you went to the war and started a war in Iran? I says, this is the cost of war. You can't stop it just because the war ended. The cost goes on. Well, as you notice lately, in order to get the PAC Act through, what they kept telling you was, this is the cost of war. So what I thought went over his head certainly became an issue with the PACT Act.
Well, that is true, and it's, you know, luckily there are some of our politicians out there who really, really honestly care about the veteran community and not just lip service. And so we would encourage all of you out there who are listening today, you know, is contact your local politician, you know, whatever party they're in, whatever, you know, level they are, and, you know, tell them that you're concerned and that you need to have, you know, you need to have them looking at these things. And it is the cost of war is a, you know, I mean, look at this, you know, what we 50, 60 years out and, you know, we're starting to have issues with stuff that just kind of, you know, you never even thought about. We're coming up on the end of the program, but I wanted to really thank Sandy Wilson for being on today. Sandy, I'd love to have you on in the future because I know you are in touch and in tune with what's going on in Washington and what's going on with the national organization. So I want to thank you. And I want to make sure that we thank Carol Ann Falzone. And, you know, Legal Help for Veterans is out there to help you. As she mentioned, you just go to their website. She has all those ebooks that will take care of all your different issues there, at least to give you a place to begin and maybe a little bit more understanding. So I want to thank you all. I've got a minute to go, and I got to fill this in with a, you know, a plea for funding here. So, you know, we're coming up on a minute to go. I want to remind everybody that this coming Sunday, the 30th of September, is our Radio on the River, and we'd really like you to come out and join us, especially if you're in Southeast Michigan. If wherever you are in the country, come on in. We would love to have you there at 3 to 7 p.m. Go to veteransradio.org, and you'll be able to make your donation to buy the tickets. It's our 20th anniversary, so we're asking for $20 for 20 years, and we would really encourage you to do that. We can't do this program without you because, actually, the program is all about you. So, you know, keep us going, and we would love to have more stories. So keep, you know, contact me, contact Jim Falzone. Just, you know, wherever it says that. We got to go. Thank you for listening to Veterans Radio today. We're going out today. This is Dale Thronberry. You are dismissed.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious sky. Or amber waves of green, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sin to shining sun. Oh, beautiful, for a patriot dream that sees beyond the years. Cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea, and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.